Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, need a little help. Say it, boy.
Need some help, y'all.
Change the world what it used to be. Can't do it alone.
Can't do it alone.
Need some help, yeah.
Need some help, yeah.
Tell me now,
wonder what you're telling now.
Fire!
maker, y'all. Come on. You preachers, stop preaching what you teach. Teach the truth. Wake up, preacher.
God be the glory for this awesome and wonderful evening. We're so grateful and thankful that you have chosen to be here. We thank God for your presence. As always, we want to just ask that God continue to bless you just for your efforts of saying, I want to take out some time of my day and give back. We know and understand that a lot of the issues that we're dealing with now may not necessarily be marriage material, but almost anything that we use in life, you can use for the betterment of your marriages if you apply it the right way. But we want to just deal with some issues that are just going on around us, so many issues that I know so many of you are passionate about. And if you're passionate about it, we just encourage you to press 1 on your phone, and at the appropriate time, Minister Jesse will allow you an opportunity to come in and be able to ask a question, maybe even, you know, share a little bit about the topic that we're speaking on tonight, or it may be that you may just have some information you just want to share. Whatever it may be, we just ask that you give us 2 minutes, and if you're not done sharing, that you would then allow us to move on with the teachings and then come back a little later in the show so that we can give everyone an opportunity to get their questions answered or to comment on anything that's shared so that we will have an opportunity to still yet share some of the material that has been put together for each and every one of you. I want to say thank you to all of you that made it to the Blog Talk Radio show tonight. My name is Tammy Storr, and I will be joined by Minister Jesse Storr shortly, who will bring a word in season on tonight. And as we think about tonight, one of the things that we wanted to talk about is what are the challenges facing black folks in 2024? We know that when we really look deep down at what's going on around us, there's so many things that we can potentially say directly impact us and have directly affected us throughout 2023, and the impacts are still being felt in 2024. And we just hope and pray that God gives us all the ability to understand and know. I know one thing that I thought was somewhat behind us. I had not seen it as prevalent as I know that I've noticed it in the last 5 to 6 years, and that is the white supremacy and racism is on a rise. And for those of you that are naive and in a box and don't see that around you, my only prayer to you is that you keep your antennas up and you watch your backs. And I just know that we want to trust everybody, but there's certain people that you will not be able to trust in certain situations. I pray that through your commitment and through the relationship that you have with God, that he will give you discernment on who you should pour into and who you should receive from. So I thank you that on tonight, as we talk about the various issues that we know directly impact our community, we just ask that if you want to share, please do so. This is an opportunity for you as well to be able to share what you feel is on your heart. And I just want to thank you for the opportunity that you will give me to open up us in prayer, to ask the Holy Spirit to come in. And I want to say thank you personally to each and every one of you for understanding the power of agreement and being here with me on the opening prayer. Most gracious and most heavenly Father, as always, I want to just say thank you. Thank you for another day, another opportunity to allow us to minister to your people. Thank you for giving us, Lord God, the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding to be able to study and show ourselves approved, to be able to then regurgitate it and share with the listening audience. I thank you that on tonight that Jesse has prepared this awesome and wonderful message that someone has come to receive. Father, as they have come to receive, I declare and I decree that you give them the ability to be able to absorb it in their great minds, and at the appropriate time they will share it with others and be able to share it amongst themselves as spouses or family members. I just want to say thank you, Lord, for giving us the privilege and the opportunity to be able to declare and decree your word and consider it done. Holy Spirit, we already feel your presence. Thank you for going and being with us today and always. I pray that on tonight, Holy Spirit, you will be the mouthpiece of Minister Jesse as well as myself, and give us words of wisdom to share and be transparent and be able to be understanding of the things that's going on around us. I just want to say thank you for allowing us, Father, through discernment to know exactly what it is that we need to do and how we need to do it and the things that we should leave behind us and never look back, but press forward to the mark of the high calling. And I declare and I decree that revelation knowledge will come forward for each and every one of us. Holy Spirit, go and be with us even in the times when we're not here on the prayer, on the Blog Talk Radio show. I just want to just thank you for all of the growth and thank you for all of the things that Minister Jesse is working on that you're going to bring to fruition and give him an opportunity to let his light continue to shine bright for others to see you in him. Pour back into him 1,000-fold everything that he pours into us on this evening. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, amen, amen, and amen to the glory of God.
Let the church say amen one more time. We praise God and thank God for his grace and his mercy. We are living in some very strange, turbulent, and interesting times. It's really different, more different than at any time I've ever read about, ever experienced. We all see stuff going on out there, but it just makes really no sense. So one, we should begin to think about really what's going on. We can't keep our heads in the sand. So many are just saying, hey, we're just going to pray and whatever God's will is. Well, we want to pray and we want to keep on praying, but we can't have the attitude of whatever God's will is, because God expects us to move when he makes available to us the opportunity to move. Now, how many times, I think we've all heard that little corny joke about the man that was believing in God, and, you know, God sent all of these different means and ways for that man to be rescued, but he didn't take any of them. And so when he died due to his inactivity, and finally had an opportunity to meet God face to face and ask God, well, why did you turn me down? And God said, well, I sent you 3 different opportunities to be rescued, but you turned them all down. So I never turned you down. You just simply rejected the answer to your problem that I sent for you to be rescued and to be delivered. And so I think God you know, speaks that to all of us occasionally. He may give us an answer to a prayer, but we may fail to realize that that's the answer to the prayer. Sometimes later on, we can look back, and then we'll be able to see, wow, God had delivered me, and God had given me an opportunity to be delivered from this situation, but I failed to recognize it when it appeared. So how many of us, we sometimes might not even know when we are facing a challenge. We may have a challenge before us, but we don't know what it is. And since we don't know what it is, we don't understand that God is saying, prepare yourself because change is coming. You know, some of us remember that song by Sam Cooke, "The Change is Going to Come." We remember when Obama said change is coming to America and all of that, all of those little witty catchphrase statements and all of that. But we really do need to be looking at what kind of changes we need to make in relationship to the challenges that's facing black folks in America. So tonight, you know, perhaps we can have a more of a conversation. I've got a list of many things that I personally would like to chat, and, well, I shouldn't say we. And at the end of the day, you know, hopefully we'll be able to discuss some of those situations and see what, in fact, some of the challenges may be. Maybe we can get into agreement or disagreement on what some of those challenges are. But I can just assure you that we indeed have some challenges that we need to be thinking about, and they need to be figuring out, trying to determine and ascertain what do we need to do in this particular year and beyond. So as you think about that for a moment, what is it that God perhaps has shown you as being some of the challenges that we are going to be faced with in America? And as Tammy has said, if you want to make a comment, just hit one on your phone that will let me know you like to be removed from mute, that we can hear your comments and or questions. The only thing we ask is limit your comments to no more than 2 minutes. You'll be surprised at how much you can get in 2 minutes. So as a backdrop, let me share some of the things that in our research it says are some of the issues that we are facing and still face in America. How about that? Now, racial inequality. I know some people think, feel, and believe, oh, haven't we got this? No, we have not. The racial disparities, you're talking about in income and wealth. You're talking about education, healthcare. All of these have been longstanding issues. And black individuals on average have faced economic disadvantages and reduced access to quality education and justice and healthcare. So think about that for a moment. If there's an inequality as it relates to income, wealth, education, and healthcare, that's the very foundation of us being able to stay afloat and to reduce the gap that continues to exist in the net worth of black folks and white folks in America. That's a major issue. That's a challenge, just that inequality right there. And then, of course, another piece, and I'm going to just lay some of these out, and again, if you want to make a comment on them, just raise your hand and we'll do everything we can to you know, get your phone unmiked, you may say. The second piece is one that impacts almost all of us, either directly or indirectly. We all have either a family member or we know somebody that's been impacted by the criminal justice systems. Now, there's a lot of concern about the bias in the criminal justice system. You got over-policing, targeting, you know, you got harsh sentences and the disproportionate incarceration of black folks. It's very significant. Black men, 6% of the U.S. population, 40% of the men prison population. Something's got to change. We must have efforts to reform how police do their job and reduce the mass incarceration and the unfair sentencing that judges seem willing to continue to give to black folks. Let me digress for one moment. I don't know all the details, but just today in a courtroom in Georgia, young black men are on trial for being in gangs. And here, a young man potentially going to be sentenced to 50, 60 years in jail for being in a gang for distribution of primarily marijuana, cannabis as they call it, where you have states in America where that's a recreational pursuit. It's not even a big deal. And even in Atlanta, you know, there's supposed to be this thing of where it's not going to create a cause, anything to cause a person to be prosecuted or arrested unless it's over a certain amount. So my understanding is, yeah, the young man had more than that theoretical allowable amount, but the prison terms seem to be really, really out of line. I know some states like Virginia, they passed a law where they were going to expunge the records of young people who have been caught and charged with distribution of marijuana, cannabis. And I think that's an admirable situation where today you have almost half of the state's recreation, or all of the states having some kind of municipal or medical justification for cannabis, but you don't have everyone in uniform. Another one of those situations where the federal government has a position, because at the federal government level, it's illegal. But in all these states that have it recreational, it's legal. And all of the states where it's medical, it's legal. So why should you have this discombobulation between the federal and the state? Well, recently, the same thing happened. You remember Roe v. Wade, where the Supreme Court said it's up to the states to decide what they want to do. And so you're going to have these disconnects as we move forward over this next decade and into these next 25 years up into 2050, when so many are predicting that's when whites will no longer be a numerical majority in these United States of America. That's about 25 plus a few months away from us. So who knows how things may play out between now and then. So again, we're just encouraging us to just be aware. You know, how about the voting rights? You know, a lot of people went through a lot of issues on voting rights, and I know there are many people that say it doesn't make any difference, but I'm telling you, at the local area, it makes a tremendous difference. And this year coming up in 2024, it could also make a powerful issue. When we have people going out and just telling bodacious tales and just giving information that has no foundation in truth, as though they're just looking for ways to stir up stuff. I mean, we gotta be guilty, if it's any year, And I'll be honest with you, I'm not happy personally with either party. But I do know that I'm not crazy. That if a man who has proven himself that is coming out and sharing, and even put the word dictator into their mouths, I mean, you cannot discount those situations. You got to wake up and smell the coffee. You got to say, if for no other reason than not to say you're going to submit yourself to a person giving examples of what if a president didn't have all immunity, they could, every time they go out of office, somebody could turn around and indict them. But there have been 46 presidents, and that's only happened one time to a person that's gotten out of office based on some activity that took place when it was in office and then left office. Only one. So the empirical evidence is that the transition of power that always existed in America is still solid. But this is a critical and crucial issue, not only for Black Americans, but all Americans, but especially. Now, it's going to be interesting to see what takes place in South Carolina, because we all know that now the Republicans are down to two potential candidates to receive the nomination to become the nominee to become president. And I was just thinking about that, how those men, all of those men, except one man, I give Chris Christie credit for that. He supported just one woman, but yet all of them come back and say they're going to vote for the former president. And now all of those men left her hanging out there, out on a broken limb. There was another book written many years ago by a lady that talked about how it would be where you out there on that broken limb, out there all by your lonesome. And so something's wrong with that. But at the end of the day, all of the voter suppression efforts we've seen, the gerrymandering, and the need for continued advocacy for fair and accessible elections. That's another issue for Black folks. When you hear the code, as Neely Fuller would say to us, you got to understand the codified language. When you hear the conversations about the urban areas or the big voting blocks in the cities, I mean, all of those things are targeted at a certain group of people. And most of those people happen to look like most of the people that's dialed in here. And so we must be mindful, and we must know and understand that these are some times when we got to pay attention. I mean, some of the things I would say that 45 says are on the money, because truly, remember, dictators and fascists, they also every now and then will inject an element of truth to maintain their legitimacy. But you can't fall for the okey-doke. And how about an issue of health disparities? You know, where Black communities, we have historically faced health disparities. You know, higher rates of chronic diseases, lower life expectancies. For example, COVID-19, that pandemic highlighted the disparities when Black Americans, they had higher infection and higher mortality rates. I mean, we got to, again, understand and know we're sometimes in a more vicious fight than we could really imagine. And we got to take advantage of health programs that may be made available to us. Just today, it was announced that Dexter King had transitioned at 62 years old from prostate cancer. And let me tell you, you know, you hear people say, oh, prostate, I know people had that and they still living in prostate cancer, even though if you're going to get a cancer, it's one of those that, it, you know, it's no such thing you can beat, but it's one of those that you could put at bay, you could say, with the right kind of faith and belief in God, with prayer, sometimes with modern technology. But at the end of the day, it can also take you out. It's reported that's what Dexter King died from, was prostate cancer. And I know several other brothers that have died from prostate cancer. So this health disparity, when we are told that once we get 40, we need to be having our prostate checked out. The normal guidelines are when you get 50. So for whites, it's 50. For black, it's 40. And so since we, even as people, as black men especially, don't like to go to the doctor, we need to go to the doctor and get checked out. It's an annual digital rectal examination. Yeah, brothers, your urologist or a urologist will examine you up your rectum by putting a finger up your rectum. It's not a sexual act. It's a act to determine if your prostate feels rough like your knuckles. And if they feel rough like your knuckles and your PSA is going up, then they want to do a biopsy just to see if you are good. And sometimes you may be good, but that's the way they validate finally, you know, whether or not you have been infected with cancer. And that's where they can also extract the tissues to determine if it's slow, intermediate, or aggressive, and what kind of stage it may be in. So you'll know what your next steps should be. So please take it for granted that everything is okay. Men, we know when something's not going right. You know, when you go to the restroom and your urination is not right, you got to go get checked out. It's just I'm talking to myself when I say this as well, because I waited entirely too long before I went in to be checked out myself. And then how about economic inequity? You know, we got all of these improvements, and I'm one, I can point to improvements. I can see the generational change that took place in economics. But despite this, the economic disparity still persists, and black Americans face higher rates of unemployment, lower wages, and limited opportunities for wealth accumulation. We need continuous initiatives to promote economic empowerment and entrepreneurship in black communities. That's what we need to do, continue to increase the level of black businesses. When I was growing up, I didn't realize it was such a blessing, but I grew up in Mississippi, and we were able to see black businesses. We saw restaurants, funeral homes, barber shops, really almost in every endeavor of life. And so growing up, that gave you a sense that you could do something, that you could own a business, that you could run a business, that you could be in charge. Now, we didn't know that at the time. We didn't necessarily articulate that at the time, but I did articulate as a young boy, 7 or 8 years old, don't remember exactly, but I remember there was a store that was right around from where we lived, across what we call the trail. And it was, had these white men, you know, ended up probably Jewish men with white shirts and little black ties. And I said, when I get grown, I'm going to own my business. And I said that. But as the years passed away and passed on, I kind of forgot that for a long time. But at some point in time, that statement came back, and it jumped back into my consciousness, jumped back into my memory, and I said, hold on. I can't just cast aside that desire. I had that desire a long time ago. And so I thank God that I was able to reconnect with that desire. Now, it's a lot lonelier, and it's a lot more, you could probably get more gray hair going out there doing it alone as an entrepreneur, but you truly will find how much you believe and depend on God. So I thank God for that. And I'm encouraging everybody I can. Open up a business, some kind of business. It doesn't matter what it is. If you're working, keep your job until you get to that point to where you can replace your income or most of it, half of it, something, but where you see that you're going to be able to exploit, you know, the opportunities that you may be building as an entrepreneur. But we got to do it. You know, that's a challenge we're facing today, economic inequality. And then how about education? I mean, I heard a statement today or yesterday that blew me away. The statement that came out first was there were 400,000 people in Atlanta that didn't have high school diplomas. And then they came back and they said the number might be as high as 1 million people. I said, wow. Then I started thinking, if that's the case, what was it like in Indianapolis, Baltimore, Detroit, and Houston, and Memphis, and St. Louis, and L.A., and San Francisco, and Seattle, Kane, and all of these urban areas where you still have a heavy concentration of blacks, to where years ago the average lack of diploma obtainment in those areas on average was 50% to 60%. And so given this age of where we don't have a lot of manufacturing activity, that's a high number for us to think, feel, and believe those young men that aren't getting good jobs, especially if they decide college is not for them, how are they going to ever take care of family or take care of home, a car, insurance, all of the expenses that go with living in this postmodern era? We got to find a way to address that issue, these issues, to promote education equity, to where, yeah, we have a concern about just a straight Eurocentric educational system. But hey, we have to take the initiative to come up with an Afrocentric system as well. But at the end of the day, we got to get some of the basic fundamentals necessary just to be considered at even Steven with America. We got to get that checked off as well. How about criminal justice reform? I mean, there's been a consistent cause, and I'm going to tell you, in this area, though, one of the errors that I believe was made was when people started talking about defund the police. Defund. I think that was a totally gross mischaracterization of what people were saying. I think they probably were saying something more like reallocate the funding, reallocate to other activities or other investments that would be a benefit to the community. Somebody say, like what? Recreational centers. How about building some recreational centers? I'm going to give an example. I know an area in Stockbridge, Georgia, where they took down a park. You know, it was a park where all the neighborhood children used to go, and the primary attraction was basketball, and there was football sometimes during the season. They tore it all down. They had it down. And so today I decided I'm going to go by here and get a walk in for, you know, 40, 45 minutes. And I went there, and I mean, it was really nice the way they took it and changed it. They put back in basketball courts, but they flipped them, put them on the other side. They put in a walking track that winds all through the park, where if somebody was bringing their child to football practice or whatever, they could get a workout in while the child is doing so. New restroom facilities. I mean, it's nice. Increase the parking space, the whole nine. I mean, stuff like that. That's what we need. And we need it in not only the South, we need it in the North. So if we could reallocate that, that could be part of a criminal justice reform, because a lot of times if children had an opportunity to go and to have recreational centers, they wouldn't have an opportunity to go and then be able not pay attention to that. But in any event, I'm encouraging all of us to know we need to be careful how we're talking about defund. I don't like that terminology myself. And then we talking about housing. Most of us, we still don't realize, depending on who you're listening to, there's still something like 7 to 8 million units of housing short in America. And access to affordable and safe housing continues to be a concern. As a matter of fact, I'm working with a group now. We're attempting to put together what they call a cost-effective housing. And if you're right there and you hear my voice and you are somebody that's looking for a place to invest some funds to help eliminate that, we're looking at starting out and working with housing for veterans. Because our veterans, a lot of times they come back and they suffer from PTSD. They suffer from a lot of stress that they encounter. A lot of the young men that went over to Afghanistan, went over to Iraq, Iran, anywhere over there in the Middle East, they've come back and they got severe issues. I had a cousin come back, even was a female, came back hooked on opiates because of all of the stress and all of the depression. This is real life. We see it on the evening news, but those that have gone over there and been in the battle, gave up their life, or saw their buddy, their friend, head blown off in front of them. I mean, it's really difficult. We've got a friend who said he was in a Vietnam. I saw it from my brother-in-law. Said he killed a lot of people. And only now is some of those things beginning to pop up, some of those situations beginning to cause concern. It's like they say, it really never leaves you. These are things, again, that we as people, we just don't have the same access to that thing. I know they got the VA piece. I was dealing with a veteran last week. Must have been a young veteran. Must have never purchased a house. I say this simply because we were attempting to sell a home to them. And for the price of the home and the age of the home, they had a request that was so unbelievable. I could not believe it. And they showed me that they didn't have any kind of experience in buying a home. And so today, of course, I signed an agreement, the termination paper to that potential sale, because what they was asking was so ridiculous. Hopefully they'll find what they need. But that's another thing. We sometimes then go into situations and our expectations are so far out in left field that when we deal with each other, then we think or feel and believe that we should get exactly what we want if we're buying, or exactly what we want if we're selling, instead of finding a way to have compromise. Now, the next piece, number 9, I'm going to say on this list. Environmental justice. We may not realize that sometimes we live in communities that has been disproportionately environmentally polluted, and there's a lack of equal access to clean air and water. Perhaps we all remember what happened in Flint, Michigan a few years back. Perhaps we didn't know there's a problem with lead in Washington, D.C. Perhaps we didn't know there's a problem with arsenic in California. Perhaps we didn't know there's a problem with iron in Oklahoma. Perhaps we didn't know that there's a problem with nitrates in all 49 of the lower states because of all of the synthetic fertilizers and herbicides that's been used on the crop. So much so that in 1959, a social environmentalist, Rachel Carson, said it would destroy the quality of drinking water in America. You know what? That was over 65 years ago. She was right. he was right. That could be a whole discussion on that, and we may come back at a later date and talk more about this access to clean air and quality drinking water. Environmental justice efforts need to be improved to address these disparities. A lot of chemical companies, even, we may not realize and understand, they were downtown in areas downtown. Even in Atlanta right now, when you're going up 75, it's not downtown, but when you're going up 75 and you get past Hayteville and you look on the east side of the freeway, there's a bunch of over there. Those are chemical tanks. Those are compounders. Where I'm sure if you went and did some water table testing, you probably find some little issues with some contamination and pollution. But I digress. And then social justice movements. You know, there were some that just jumped out there and thought, oh, Black Lives Matter, that's right on the point. See, that's why we have to be balanced as well sometimes. Black Lives Matter, what people fail to remember sometimes, it was originally designed and targeted at black people, trying to tell us that if we had loved ones that were part of this, you know, the gay community and all of that, that their lives mattered as well. In some kind of way, it got hijacked. And when it got hijacked by the majority society, and it got turned into something else. And everybody jumped on the bandwagon not knowing and understanding who really founded it and what they really believed in it. And if you go back, if you could really look and find that original website, you'll find out you may not jump on that bandwagon. I'm going to leave it at that. You may not jump on it because it was not what you thought it was. When the people want to describe themselves as queers and gay and those, not me. I'm just repeating what was on those original websites. You may have some challenge with that as well. But I don't want to digress. I want to keep going. These are some of the challenges that we're facing in America. They're real challenges. Some of them, they apply to all Americans, but a lot of them, they're specifically just for America. Now, I mean, very quickly, and again, we may have to come back next week and deal with some of the strategies for, you know, overcoming these things. Because we can't get out. We can't get a new start going. We can't get something different from the original social contract if we don't think outside of the box. We have to think outside of the box. See, when you look at the challenges that I just shared, those were 10. Let me kind of quickly review them. Number one, racial inequality. Number two, criminal justice system. These are the challenges we face. Number three, voting rights. Number four, health disparities. Number five, economic inequity. Number six, education. Number seven, criminal justice reform. Number eight, housing. Number nine, environmental justice. And number 10, social justice movements. I mean, that's a bunch. That's 10. And it's probably more than that. I know it is. We just put our heads together, do a little brainstorming, brain scripting. We probably come up with 20 or 25 more. But what this tells us is that even though we live in what many consider to be, and I'm one of them, the greatest nation in the world, it also highlights the fact that we need to do a whole lot of things differently. If we truly are ever going to experience what the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution were designed to achieve, we must be able to improve in these particular areas, both individually, because let's face it, let's be honest about it. Individually, I'm sure that many of us that's on this line right now and those that are listed in the archives, because they're the kind of people that will be listening, we have seen a tremendous improvement in our lifetime. We were, and I hate to use this word, but this is the word that so many have used. So many have said, but you were different. You were exceptional. Don't buy into that. Don't go around with your head up high thinking that you're exceptional and everybody else that's black that has not achieved what you have achieved, that they're not exceptional. No. You may have been at the right place at the right time, so when that opportunity came, you took advantage of it because you were ready, you were prepared. And so some call that luck. But in reality, you exploited the opportunity when it came because you were willing to speak up. You were willing to say something. You were willing to show something that you had done in the past, something that you had worked on in the past. And because you were willing to do so, what people call luck showed up. But it was being prepared when that opportunity came. Now, I can tell you, I've blown plenty of opportunities in my life. I mean, I just have to be honest. And if we all are honest, perhaps you have too. Something came along, could have been work-related, could have been socially related, emotionally related, financially related, could have been a whole bunch of things, because we're not just one-dimensional. And when it came along, I just wasn't ready, wasn't prepared. And so now we go methodically through the things that we do, where we are methodically trying to make sure we've dotted the I, we've crossed the T, and even when we do that, sometimes we miss the mark of the higher calling. We still sometimes don't get it right. And that's when we have to learn, don't condemn yourself. Don't condemn somebody else. There are seasons of life that as we go through life, all of us, we're going to have a time when we blew it. There are going to be other times when it seems like God is just giving us revelation knowledge like it's pouring out of the sky. And that's why I encourage everybody, walk around with a notebook so that you can write it down and make it plain. So I'm going to give you an example. Just the other day, God dropped a nugget in my mind, and I went from one room to the next room. And all of a sudden, I was like, oh, my goodness, what was that? And then it's like the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, didn't I tell you to keep a notebook and pencil with you at all times? And it came back, and I grabbed it, and I wrote it down. I'm telling you, as we have now matured, it's not so much that we can't remember, it's that we got so much to remember. When we was 20, we had only so much. When we was 30, when we was 40, when we were 50 or 60 or 70 or 80, now you got more and more and more and more stuff to remember. And because of that, you may occasionally have a brain fart, as they say. You may have a temporary. But if you're willing, you turn around, be quiet for a second. Lord, what was that I was supposed to be coming in here? 99% of the time, God is going to give it back, but then he's going to reinforce, write it down, make it plain. And these challenges, we got to deal with them. Because in this postmodern era where we are now, the manufacturing plants, like many of our family members, neighbors, and friends that were able to go to back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, when America was being driven by world-scale manufacturing, and you had other companies coming into America building manufacturing plants ground up, those days are diminished. Probably would never be the same. So much of the footprint for manufacturing has been put to other nations. and other nations have become the leaders in so many products. Go to the food store sometime. Look at your fish. See where it comes from. Look at your shrimp. Look at your catfish, your tilapia, your swordfish, your crab. Look at all of them and see where they come from. It might blow your mind. We eat so much shrimp that only 4 or 5% is really farmed or raised here in the United States. It's just amazing that we have become a nation fully dependent on other nations because we are the nation that demand everything have a low price. And because of that, we ourselves have lost many of the skills that we need that would allow us to do what we need to do. Now, in the coming weeks, months, and years ahead, we must become far more independent. And so I'm going to see how I'm going to have to deal with this. Next week, we're going to talk about some of the strategies to deal with these particular 10 shortfalls, these 10 issues that's facing the black family, facing black folks in America, facing black marriages, facing, you know, black people. We'll deal with that side, the solution side. Didn't know this would take the whole time, but it did. But we'll come back to that next week, if that's okay with you. So, McQueen, you want to pray us out? If you are in a position, if you're back in the studio, hit 1 and I'll unmute you. If you could pray us on out, I would appreciate it. You know, we are separated in the studio. There's a studio that I'm in, and there's a separation of several feet that she's in. So I'm going to unmic her, unmute her rather. So your phone is unmuted. Give it to you. God bless.
Amen, amen, Jesse. What an awesome topic tonight. Just hope and pray that you definitely get through it next week. It's so much information, and I just pray you take your time, not in a rush, because this is very important, especially as we're leading up to what's about to come at the end of 2024, to encourage everyone, to encourage their loved ones to go out and make sure they exercise their right and vote. Most gracious and most heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you once again for the teachings of tonight. We're kind of declaring and decreeing that you would go and be with all of us as a body, and let us not be judged by, Father, the color of our skin or the context of our faith or anything else that we know, Lord God, that you do not judge us by. We ask that you allow others that are out there making those judgments that they see us as just human beings. I want to pray tonight for all of those that we know, Lord God, are just in need of a touch from you tonight. Would you stop by and meet each and every one of them in their time of need? Be with Minister Leah Killings as she makes her way, Lord God, to the Blog Talk Radio Show as she shares through transparency to her entire audience. I come asking, Lord God, that you be with her, allow her to remove self, and you take over. Thank you, as always, for this atmosphere that you give us to be able to teach in. And we thank you for the technology for those that dial in. We want to say thank you once again for this day and every day as you give us to glorify you. Go and be with us until we see you face to face. Refuel my husband as he has given back to us so much tonight. Allow 1,000-fold to be poured back into him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Agape love.